Exodus chapter 22 and verse 21 says this, "Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." Now, Exodus chapter 23, let's look at verse 9. "Also, thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." So remember that. Chapter 22, verse number 21 said, "Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." Chapter 23, verse 9 says, "Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. We'll use these verses to introduce the message, and then we'll move on into the New Testament and talk a little bit about Christian hospitality. Deuteronomy chapter number 10 and verse number 17. Deuteronomy chapter number 10 and verse number 17. "For the Lord your God is a God of gods and the Lord of lords, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're going to just try to learn something from the Bible tonight. And Lord, we are of course going to need you to be very active in this process, because it must be the Holy Spirit ultimately that tutors us in spiritual things. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. But Lord, thank God that inside every born-again believer there is that Holy Spirit, that author of the Bible, who gave these words to men of old to write down. And because he's the author of the Bible, and because he delivered the Bible, he certainly understands the Bible. And I pray, Lord, that as we teach it, we'd listen to what he's trying to teach us and tell us. And Lord, we're excited tonight. It's been a blessed Sunday, and God's so good. Lord, you've just been overwhelmingly gracious to us. And I ask, Lord, that you would just teach us some things from the Bible. Help us to be better at what you've called us to do, because we've come here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me just start an introduction by saying this, that I think one of the lost arts of our society is simple hospitality. It's really a lost art. Those of you that have some age on you, you've lived a while. I was preaching the other day at Milford, Ohio, and we were talking about old-fashioned neighborhoods. And I said, I still remember the days when you knew your neighbors, and we knew what it was to be neighbors. We've built fortresses now, and if we do acknowledge the people around us, usually it's with a scowl, as if to say, okay, I live near you, but don't come near me. And I'm sorry, but that's kind of the way it's turned into. You say, Brother Jerry, society's changed. I understand that. But I think that there still ought to be a difference in Christians. You know, I tell the story of how it was a very common thing for Mama to holler out the door for one of us boys, and she'd be in the middle of baking something, and she'd hand us a container, a cup or something, and said, I need about this much sugar. Go over to Ruth Ann's and ask if she'd let us borrow that much sugar. We used to say, borrow us that much sugar. And we'd run across the road, and she'd borrow us some sugar. Then it wouldn't be a week or so, and there'd be a knock on our door, and be one of her boys saying, Mom needs a half stick of margarine. Could I get a half stick of margarine? And you know, people used to kind of be a lot. Did you notice this? Is it just me, or did people used to be a lot kinder to each other than they are? Kind of watch out for each other. We're schooled in the basics of hospitality. Knew how to make people feel welcome and at ease. And I don't care. I expect society to go the direction they're going, but I think that we as Christians ought to maybe take tonight. I think it's very worthy of a Sunday evening service to stop and say, let's examine ourselves. I'll be honest with you. I know Jerry Ross real well. I know it. I'm prone to get jaded. I am. I'm prone to get skeptical. I'm prone to to think the worst of people sometimes instead of the best. I tend to be so much too much on the defensive sometimes, and sometimes I think we need to just revisit some of these areas of just learning how to treat people. This will help you in a lot of areas of your life. I think it will help Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm going to say a little bit about this, but we have strangers come in almost every Sunday. We call them visitors, but people that we've never met before, people that are brand new. And folks, let me say this. I believe that God in heaven judges the success of this church in a big way on how we make those people feel welcome and how hospitable we are to those people. Hey, Brother Jerry, you spend a lot of money on the visitors' packets. Well, it's not a lot of money, but you know, it's a little money. But you know what? I want to put something in their hand that says, we anticipated that you were coming. We prayed for you to be here. And now that you're here, we want to give you a token of how much we appreciate you being here. I want them to know that they're our honored guests. I'm excited when I see a visitor. I mean that. I just get excited. I like y'all too. I'm glad you're all coming. But I mean that. I love it when I see a visitor. I watch for visitors. And we'll talk a little bit about this. Let me just introduce this by giving you a quick look at three verses here that we read. In Exodus chapter 22 and verse number 21, and I'll read these for you so you don't have to turn back there. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. We're instructed that we're not to vex a stranger. Now, young people, let me tell you this. By nature, young youth and cruelty sometimes goes together. Immaturity and cruelty goes together. Children can be very mean to other children. Young people can be very mean to other young people. And that's the way the world operates, but it ought not to be the way that Christian young people operate. If somebody comes in and they're a little different than you, or you've never seen them and they're not a part of your group, you know, sometimes people will be cruel to somebody they don't know. They won't treat them very nice. The Bible says that God will hold you accountable for those type of actions. Do not vex or torment or oppress a stranger, someone that you don't know. That's an unchristian way to act towards somebody who is just new. And the Bible says just the opposite. It is your responsibility. I'm talking about every young person that attends Sunday school here. It's every one of your responsibility, no matter what grade you're in, what class you're in, to look around in your classroom every week and see if you see a new face, a stranger, or a visitor in your class. And I'm going to teach you a little bit tonight about how you're to treat that person. But God takes this very, very seriously. He says when there's somebody that you run into that you don't know, or God brings a stranger across your path, God is very particular about how we treat them. He wants you to use old-fashioned Christian hospitality. Now, we're not to vex them. Verse 23, I love this. Also, thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, seeing you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now, listen very carefully. One of the ways that you can help yourself be in the proper frame of mind and do the right thing by strangers is to stop and know the heart of a stranger. Now, what does that mean? Let me just have you look up here a minute. I'm so glad that many of you here were born and raised at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I mean, you know what? You were carried in the door. You were put in the nursery. But can I say this in a real sense, because of that, and if you have that testimony, you do not maybe understand the heart of a stranger. I mean, this is home. You've never moved from one church to the other. You've never moved from one community to the other. You've never, at some point in your life, walked in the door not knowing everybody that's here. Because of that, maybe you have a tendency not to be very sensitive to that. Some of you have never moved from the house that you're in or the school that you attend. You've never been in a new neighborhood or a new situation, and because of that, you don't know the heart of a stranger. It is true. And so you say, well, I just can't know. No, I think that you can. I think what it means there is this. Trade places with them. Mentally trade places with them. Think about what you would be feeling If you were a fifth or sixth grade girl and you climbed on this church bus for the first time and you walked in the fifth and sixth grade girls' classroom for the first time and you didn't know a soul and you didn't know the teacher and you barely knew anybody, and they separated you from your brothers and sisters as soon as you walked in the door and put you in this classroom, and now you're there. Now that's you. That's not her anymore, that's you. You need to stop and know the heart of a stranger. It would be a great thing for us to learn to trade places with people. When we see different situations, not to just have sympathy, but to have empathy, which means to take the time to feel what they feel, to trade places with them in a sense. Because folks, y'all that's been here your whole life, let me tell you something, you've never walked in as a visitor. Okay, so you're going to have to make an effort to do this, you see. And so the Bible says here, listen, in this matter of strangers, don't vex them, don't oppress them, don't torment them. And, I don't really think we've got a problem with that. I hope we don't. You know, it'd be a terrible thing for someone to visit the church and for someone to say a mean or unkind thing to them or give them the cold shoulder or treat them cruelly. If you do that, folks, not only are they probably not going to come back, but you're going to stand before God and be held accountable for that. That's a very serious thing. And children, listen, love each other and love the new kid that comes. You know, at times we have new students come into our Christian school. And you know what? I got to say this. I've watched the students here, and one of the things I'll say when I'm interviewing new parents is, I think that you'll find that the students here will take them under their wing. Now, I don't want to say that and it not be true. And so look for that new person. Look for people that are in an awkward situation, that are in an uneasy situation, and true Christian hospitality trades places with them, considers their heart, and say, how would I want everyone else to treat me if I was in their shoes, and then I'm going to go do that to them. And so isn't that good? Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse number 17 through 19 says, for the Lord your God is a God of gods, and the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Now here's another step up the ladder. Okay, Brother Jerry, I won't torment him. I won't be mean to him. Okay, Brother Jerry, I'll try to trade places with him and consider what they might need, and I'll try to maybe treat them as I would want to be treated if I was in their shoes. Now, wait a minute. God's not done with us. Now he says this, love the stranger. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now, folks, I don't know if you can teach this. I think that all agape love is God love. Agape love is God love, and it's a gift from God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. We couldn't will it. We couldn't conjure it up if we tried. The love of God can flow through you to other people, but it can't be manufactured by you. It's got to be manufactured by the Holy Spirit of God. And but if you don't have a natural tendency to do this, let me ask you to ask God for this gift. Lord, help me to love the stranger. Help me to love people before I even know them. Isn't that good? Amen. And too many times we have this mentality. We see somebody new and say, well, we'll keep an eye on them. And we'll get to know them a little bit. And then I'll decide what I think. No, why don't you just decide you're going to love them? You just decide you're going to love them. But I don't know them yet. Well, good night. God didn't loved us unconditionally. God loved us first. You see, God loves us. And so love the stranger. Now that you may not, this may be totally foreign to you, and that's fine. I think this is a growth process. But it's wonderful when you get in place in your Christian life when I can look back and see somebody I've never known and genuinely love them. Now, why is that so important? Say, brother, what's the big deal about that? How are they going to know? They know. They know. Amen. They know whether you walk up and you're being polite, or they know whether or not you walk up and you genuinely care about them. Sunday school teachers, they know in your class. Yes, teenagers, they know right out here in the youth meeting. Okay, they know in the Christian school. They know. And so I don't say, you know, let's see who comes in this week and let me decide how I feel about them. I've already predetermined that I'm going to love the stranger. I'm going to love the people that God sends into this church. And if they come one time and that's all I ever have them, they're going to listen to a preacher that loves them. That loves them, you see. And so I think that that's the basic groundwork of the Old Testament law, God explaining to the children of Israel, listen, you were a stranger in Egypt. Now, listen to me. You be sure and treat people that are strangers the right way. Now, let's go to the New Testament and talk about Christian hospitality. Go to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 13. I'm just going to do a little quick word Bible study tonight. I don't think we'll be here a real long time. But I want to talk to you about Christian hospitality. I want to challenge you in this area. If all you got was what I just gave you, it would be life-changing for you. And I'm not talking about just in church, folks. I'm talking about in everyday life, learning to love people, to accept people, to know how to put people at ease, to know how to make people comfortable, to know how to befriend people, to practice Christian hospitality, to go out of your way to be kind to them, to be willing to host them, to be willing to be put out for someone you don't even know. That is big time. That is true Christianity, you see. Christian hospitality. What's the word hospitality mean when I find it in the Bible, Brother Jerry? Well, it means to be fond of. It means to treat guests properly, to know how to entertain strangers. There was a great deal of time in generations past. There was a great deal of training time and teaching time in the homes. Mothers teaching their daughters how to be a good hostess, how to exercise hospitality, how to treat a stranger or a guest that came into your home. There's a lot of emphasis put on that in times gone by. I'm not sure that we haven't dropped the ball somewhere along the line on that. I'm just not sure about that. But hospitality, being fond of the idea that I'm going to have guests, to be willing to entertain strangers, to be willing to go out of my way to be hospitable, to put them at ease, to see that their needs are met. Now, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 13, let me just give you this real quickly. There's a whole list in this chapter of good biblical instructions for Christians. Starting in verse number 9, it says several things. Let love be without dissimulation. It means hypocrisy. Don't mix hypocrisy and love. That doesn't work. Hate that, abhor or hate that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. And not slothful in business, don't be lazy in your business, fervent in spirit. Man, there ought to be a fervency, an excitement, a spiritual energy to us. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We ought to be busy, doing something for God. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, notice this, given to hospitality. Now, let me give you the point. First point. Number one, we are commanded to be given to hospitality. Now, what does that word mean, given? It means that we are to be inclined or have an inclination towards hospitality. It should be a natural reaction. When we see somebody that's ill at ease, when we see somebody that's new, when we see somebody that's a guest, we see somebody that don't know where to go or what to do, then our natural inclination ought to be, how can I make them feel comfortable? How can I help them meet their need? How can I befriend them? What can I do for you? What can we do for you? Is there anything I can do for you? Are you well taken care of? Is there something I can get you? Do you need anything? Are you looking for something? Could I take the time to show you where you need to go? Can I help you with your children and get them to the right Sunday school class? Sometimes we see a new kid come in here, and you've seen them. They walk down the aisle, and they're new. And they just got off the bus, and they stand about a third of the way down, and they've got this, I don't know where I am or where I'm going, look on their face. Now, bus workers, let's try not to get them in that situation in the first place, okay? If you're going to get a sign up a visitor, then you need to make sure that you host that visitor, that you see that a new child is taken to their class, and then they know where to go after their class. Oh, well, we'll just turn them loose at the door, and they'll find their way. Now, don't do that to these kids. Don't do that to these kids. Take the time to make sure that they're made to feel comfortable here. Adults, sometimes they come in. They don't know what the program is. They don't know what's next. They don't know what they're supposed to go or what they're supposed to do or where their children or teenagers are supposed to go.
And we need to make sure that we're careful in showing hospitality. That'll be a natural inclination. That'll be something that the minute we see it, we move towards it to try to do something about it and to try to make people feel comfortable and welcome, to put a guest at ease, you say, to entertain strangers, to make them feel at home. I like that, to make them feel at home. So we ought to be given to hospitality. We ought to ask God to make us aware of things around us and have a natural inclination to want to make people that are strangers feel like they're at home. Very, very important. That's great everywhere. You know, if you work at a factory and some new hire gets on, you can either make life miserable for that new hire or you can be the best friend that new hire ever had. I mean that. You know, in a month or two, you're probably going to have a good chance sitting down at the lunch table with them and leading them to Jesus Christ if you've befriended them and tried to help make them feel welcome as a new employer. And hey, are you new here? Great. What's your name? Where are you working at? Listen, if you need anything, come ask me. I'll see if I can help you. Folks, that's huge. That's huge. That's how Christians ought to act in the workplace. Not, oh no, there's the new guy. He might be after my job. I'll tell you what, he won't last. We'll see how long he lasts. He doesn't know where to go, what to do, and they sit around and laugh at him. That doesn't help anything. And that's not Christian hospitality, you see. We are to be given to hospitality. Number two, let me have you go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 because we're going to chase this word around. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 2. Let me begin in verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 2. And then we're going to jump to Titus right after that. Number 2, do you know that hospitality and understanding and being given to hospitality is a requirement of a bishop? Very interesting, isn't it? 1 Timothy chapter 3, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And the bishop there is talking about a pastor of a church. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior. Notice this, of all of this that's in this list, given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. Now let me show you that it's repeated in Titus chapter number 1. In 1 Timothy, the pastor said, listen, if you desire the office of a pastor, then you ought to be given to hospitality. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 7. Titus chapter 1, verse number 7. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. Now notice the wording here. But a lover of hospitality. Isn't that interesting that here in this biblical makeup of the man that wants the office of and desires the office of a pastor, there has to be within his heart a love for strangers, a love for the visitor. He needs to be given. He needs to have a natural inclination to want to make people feel at home. He not ought to have to do that out of duty. The Bible says he ought to be a lover of that. And isn't that interesting? Of all of the requirements that, if I'd have had you take a piece of paper out and say, listen to me, what are the, in God's eyes, what are the 10 most important attributes of a pastor? I'm not sure that it would have been on my list, and it probably may have been overlooked by you, but it was important to God. Given to hospitality. You say, well, Brother Jerry, what if somebody is called to preach or wants to preach and they just aren't given to hospitality? Well, then they need to become an evangelist. I just thought you'd enjoy that, you know. That's strikingly true with a lot of the evangelists I know. I don't like people, so I'm going to go into evangelism, amen. I love people, so I'm going to be a pastor. You know, it is interesting, though, that even evangelists will say this. They'll say this about other preachers. That man has a pastor's heart. Now, what do they mean when they say he has a pastor's heart? Well, I think it means a lot of things, but I think it means this. I think it means he's given and a lover of hospitality. And so, anyway, I just thought I'd share that. I thought Dad would enjoy that. The requirements of a pastor is he needs to be given to and a lover of hospitality. If you young men, if some of you young men are called to preach, you know, one of the things you need to develop in your life is a love for people and a love and a desire to be hospitable to people, to want to help people and acclimate people into the church. That's big on my list. I really mean that is huge to me. Probably if there's just one little attribute that I could wish I could, you know, withdraw and bottle and inject,
it would be, I want you to want every person that walks in that door to stay here and be here as bad as I do. I want you to love them like I love them, to make them feel as welcome as I try to make them feel welcome, to genuinely care about them the first time you lay eyes on them, and to be just devastatedly disappointed if they never show up again. Now, folks, listen to me. We cannot afford to be us for no more mentality at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Listen, God didn't bring us here so that we could grow to a certain size, set and be satisfied, and just have our little group. Shame, 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 shame. I mean, you know what? Call the cemetery and call the guy that chisels out the names on the tombstones let's get the process going, because we're going to die. All righty, we're going to die. And churches get to the point where they've got a certain group, and you know what? It's almost like listen, folks, it's open. It's for everybody. I want everybody. And I do mean everybody. I said this a long time ago. I'll say it again. I don't get more. Listen, if the governor of Indiana walked through that door, I'm not going to get more or less excited about that than a new bus kid that walks in the door. I think every single person that comes in here ought to be treated the same. I think they ought to be treated good. I don't think we should be excited about some people and upset about other people. Let me just share this with you. You know that a sign of a growing church is a church where you look around and you have a variety of people with a variety of situations. I think sometimes, it's not a bad thing for an independent fundamental Baptist church to have some, don't throw anything at me, to have some boys run around here with earrings. Brother Jerry. Well, I'm going to try to help him get rid of that thing eventually. But you know what? I mean, we ought to have kind of all phases going on around here. Honestly. And you know what? If they come in, they ought to be felt welcome, made to feel welcome. I mean, every once in a while I look back and I'll see a girl sitting back there, and she's got 7 different colors of hair. Green, neon green, bright pink, interesting situations, you know what? I love her and I'm glad she's here. Glad she's here. Good night. Folks, she needs to be here. And why did she come here? Think about this. Why did she come here? I'll tell you probably why she came here. Because she's been out there and she's tried about everything else, and you know what? That wasn't working. So maybe there's something to this church thing. Maybe I'll just go give it a try. Now, wait a minute. We're just going to get a shot. We're going to get a shot. Maybe there's really something to this. Now, wait a minute. When she leaves here, does she say, Matt, mark that off my list. It's what everybody says it was. A bunch of hypocrites. A bunch of snooty-nosed people. Wouldn't even come over and shake hands with, make me feel welcome. Just what I thought it was. And go off to try something else. See, folks, it's huge. And I really mean this. I mean, I love what Brother Fugit says. I heard him say this in a message, and I've repeated it a ton of times, but this is so important. I was remodeling my house, or adding on to our house, and I was working on the inside one day, and I was listening to a lot of preaching, because I was doing that while I was building and working on it in the evenings. I got some tapes from Brother Fugit. I plugged it in, and he said this in his one of his messages. He said, now, we've had a lot of new members come here, a lot of new people come to our church, and he said, let me just tell you 2 things, and I hope this will help you. He said, number one, no matter who you are or what you are or where you are, the minute you walk in the door, this preacher accepts you. I accept you. I accept you exactly where you're at. And he said this, number two, understand that my job is not to allow you to stay where you're at. My job is to help you take a journey from where you are towards where you ought to be. And every one of us is on this journey. Now, if you come in the door and you're glad that I accept you the way you are, but you're satisfied where you're at and you have no intention of moving, then you're probably not going to appreciate me as a pastor, because I'm not going to let you be comfortable. But I will tell you this, I love you and I accept you where you're at. But I want you to come with an open heart, because God has areas in all of our lives where he wants us to move on and grow. And I thought, how perfectly fair is that? How perfectly fair is that? You know, I'm glad when we first walked in a church, that little church welcomed us for who we are, where we were at that point in time. That's fair. Now, folks, that doesn't mean we're going to change the standards and change the preaching. But, you know, we can have all that and still love people. And we can understand that, you know what, it took us a few years to get where we are in some areas of our life. And it's not going to happen overnight. And you know what? You're going to probably do a whole lot more of helping people to move in the right direction through love than through just being mean and nasty to them. Does that make sense to you? Hospitality. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to move quickly and finish this up. 1 Peter chapter 4. Brother Jerry, aren't you scared to death you're going to have a visiting preacher or somebody like that come in, and they're going to come in on Sunday morning, and some of your teenagers are going to be, there's going to be teenagers in this church that's not, you know what, not only am I not worried about it, I'll be the first one to point to them and say, listen, they come to our church and I'm proud to be their preacher. And I'm going to do everything I can to help them take the next step and the next step and the next step. But you know what, we're too worried about what everybody else thinks. Folks, listen, let me just say this. This isn't a Bible college. This is a local New Testament church. Now, you need to understand that. This is not a Bible college. This is a frontline local New Testament church that's on the front line going into the devil's backyard and winning people to Christ. And they come in here with all of their faults and all their baggage and everything else, and then we do what we can to rope our sleeves and help them. And some of them are going to move slow, and some of them are going to move quick, and some of them may get stuck in a few places and not move at all. Sounds a lot like me and you. So we don't, you know, give out a handbook when they walk in the door, have them fill out an application, and they all got to be this or we don't want them. They're going to grow towards that. Are you listening to? And this is very important. We have a lot of you that's been in Bible college, and I'm afraid sometimes we leave Bible college with a Bible college mentality. We're not going to go out and start a local New Testament church. We're going to go start a miniature Bible college. That's a mistake. I mean, it's a mistake. I'm not backing up one inch on anything. I'm just saying, if you're going to reach people, folks, you're going to reach them a day at a time. And an issue at a time. And a problem at a time. And you're going to get a lot more done through love than you are being a Pharisee. And hopefully that'll help. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. So hospitality is not just to be extended to visitors and strangers. Hospitality is supposed to be shown to each other. You know, it's be kind of a crime, a shame, if we as church members here, I'm talking about the family. I'm talking about Blessed Hope Baptist Church family. If we went over and gushed all over people that come once and won't come and extend the same love and hospitality towards people that are here every single week. You see, so hospitality is not something reserved just for the strangers. Notice it says to do it without grudging. You know why? God knows us. I looked at that word grudging. It means to grumble or murmur. Okay, well, I guess I'll go help this guy. But and God says, don't do that. Go help him with a smile on your face. Look at it as a privilege. I mean, God's allowed you to come across the need of a brother, and you have the means and the time to do it. Then do it. And be glad that you have the opportunity to be hospitable, you see. So, church, you know what? We do at these youth activities, and we have several churches. You know what they do sometimes? They will on purpose come up with some kind of game or some kind of situation. I've even walked into them before where they got everybody to stand up and made them change seats. It's like we have to force the youth groups out of their group to interact with the other youth groups and show a little kindness and get to actually know somebody. Am I going to have to start doing that here? Now, this is the challenge. Go befriend someone that's here every Sunday that you have yet to befriend. That's the challenge. And then the next service, go do it again. And the next service, go do it again. And the next service, go do it again. And the next service, go do it. Amen, JK. Go do it again, amen? All right. Let's go, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll wrap this up. Hebrews chapter 13. You know where I'm going? How many of you know where I'm going? Hebrews chapter 13. Now, this is kind of my twilight zone point. I'll admit it. That's the old Twilight Zone, the Rod Serling Twilight Zone, you know.
Chapter 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. It's talking about how we treat each other. Then it says this, now listen, while you're letting all this brotherly love continue, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, this is in the Bible. I don't know what else to do with it except tell you that God said this. I'm going to send some strangers across your path. And be careful to show Christian hospitality to them because it is a possibility that they are an angel. I think that's what it said. I wonder if God has ever looked across heaven and say, hey you, come here. One of the angels, yes sir. Listen, I'm going to have you do something. I need you to transform into human form. Just run a quick errand for me. You say angels don't do that. Yeah, they do. Read the Old Testament. There's many times angels took the form of a human being. Okay, again, I'm not trying to be spooky. I'm just telling you this is what the Bible teaches. All right? I want you to go down this Sunday. I want you to walk in the door of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want you to get in that car down there, and I want you to drive, and I want you to break down in front of that Christian's house right out there. Okay. I mean, how many times has somebody come across your path, and you had one opportunity, and you never saw them again? You say, Brother Jerry, are you trying to convince me that happens? That was an angel? No, I'm not trying to convince you anything. I'm saying it's possible. Now, why would God create this situation and put this verse in here? You know why? Because He knows sometimes we need motivation to do the right thing. Yes, sir. And He's saying, church, Christians, listen to me. Every once in a while, I take one of my angels and I have them come down and visit some of you. And you know what? You ought to be very careful how you treat them. Because as soon as they get done, they're coming back to me to report. You listening to me? Have you ever been in situations where you've walked into a church and you were just glad to get out of it? You visited a church and at the end of it you were just glad to get out. That shouldn't be us. That shouldn't be Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so what's the whole message tonight? Very, very simple. Be kind to each other. Be kind to all the people you know. And especially go out of your way to be kind to people that you don't know. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts, Lord, in the days and weeks to come. What great opportunities lie ahead. Lord, sometimes we probably don't understand the impact, the eternal impact of one kind word. The impact of a friendly smile. The impact that we could have on a life for all eternity. Not only that life, but every life connected to that life just by learning to reach out. Just by inviting somebody out for a cup of coffee. Just by inviting somebody over for dinner. Just by finding somebody that looks a little afraid or confused and going and getting a hold of them and say, can I help you with something? Let me help you. I would love to help you. What can I do for you? Lord, I pray that you'd help us to sharpen ourselves up in this area and make sure, Lord, that we are not guilty of being inhospitable in any area of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.